The theme for Vacation Bible School is creation, and as I thought about that, as I thought about what we ought to talk about in here and study, we just did a study of creation in our Wednesday night class. For those of you who are a part of it, don't worry, I'm getting my clock out. I didn't have it up yet, but here we go, 10:25 and 5 seconds, so now I know what time it is. But we just did a study of creation on our Wednesday night class, not too long ago. And I thought, well, I don't want to just repeat what we did there. We did, what, 5 or 6, 7 classes. I don't remember how many we did, but several on that. We are also, here's an advertisement for you, last weekend of August. Hopefully it's already on your calendar. I know the last weekend of August is already on your calendar because there's 365 days already on your calendar, so surely that weekend is there too. But last weekend of August, we have Jeff Miller from Apologetics Press coming to talk about creation evolution issues. And so I thought, well, I don't want to, again, deal with creation. We just dealt with it on Wednesday nights. If we talk about it now, then we're going to get it in, again in August. But I wanted to take something that would fit within this theme. And so I want us to spend some time today not talking about the creation of God at the beginning, but talking about the work of God since creation. One of my favorite topics is providence. And we could spend a whole lot more than just an hour and 45 minutes plus 30 minutes after lunch talking about providence. I don't want this to be a lecture. I would love for some interaction to be involved in this. I know Cam is looking at my fonts right now and not really liking the spacing on them, but that's okay, Cam. It's my graphics and not yours. But when you think about providence, what do you think of when you hear the word providence? What are we talking about? Okay, that's often the way that we think about it is to think about it as God working behind the scenes. And that's a good way to think about it. That the fact is that God is still working. And that's an important thing for us to remember. But here's our tie-in to the overall VBS theme, and then we're going to branch off from here. But we've got to remember, and I know that we do, that God exists and that God created all things. We're not going to look at all of these verses on the screen, but look in Exodus chapter 20. I know you know Genesis 1:1. You could quote Genesis 1:1. So look in Exodus chapter 20, and this is a verse that if you don't have it underlined or highlighted in your Bible, I would recommend doing that. It's in the context of God giving the Ten Commandments. So we know the Ten Commandments section here. We know what those Ten Commandments are. But nestled in here in this listing of the Ten Commandments is a key verse to know about creation. It's in the context of verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So that's the context. And I don't know how your Bible works. In my Bible, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 are kind of a grouping by themselves. I've got verses 9, 10, 11 kind of indented. It doesn't matter if your Bible does that or not, but it helps me to see this is kind of a context with this one commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The key verse I want us to see is verse 11. For in 6 days, the Lord did what? He made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and ALL, all that is in them. And then he rested on the seventh day. So when we think about Genesis 1, I mean, we've got the numbers on the doors out there, right? We've got day 1 and day 2 and day 3. And if we wanted to, we could sing the song. Or maybe even if we didn't want to, we might be able to sing the creation song and remember what happens on each day. But we read Genesis 1 and we know there's 6 days of creation. And it's amazing what individuals have done in trying to complicate that. I don't know why people want to complicate the Bible. I mean, the Bible is given to us to understand, and yet some people want to go in and make it complicated. It's not complicated. You read Genesis chapter 1, and how many days do you have? You got 6 days. Yet some people come to it and say, well, you know, they're just six expanses of time. There's 6 eras, some people will say. There are long periods of time. They're just called days, right? Your day, my day, everybody's day, everybody's got the same day. But what do you have here? Why I say Exodus 20 verse 11 is a key verse is that this is 2,500 years after creation. And God says in 6 days, he made everything. Are these days long expanses of time? Are they 6 eras? No, they're 6 days. And in this context, look in verse 8. This is why I wanted to see this context. Remember the Sabbath what?
Day.
Is that a long expanse of time? Is that like a whole era? No, that's a day on the calendar, right? So verse 9, 6 days you shall labor. Are those long expanses of time? 6 eras. You need to work for 6 eras. You need to work for 6. And some people want to make the days of creation 1,000 years long, that each day was 1,000 years. So creation took 6,000 years. So are you supposed to work for 6,000 years according to verse 9 here? Feels like it, right? Lawrence is sitting here saying, no, I'm retired. I don't have to work. I'm done. So you've worked your 6,000 years, Lawrence, apparently. I mean, give me a break. This is 6. So remember the Sabbath day. 6 days you labor. And then the 7th day is the Sabbath. So the context is all obviously about 24-hour periods. You get to Exodus 20 and verse 11. It's a 24-hour period, 6 of them. 624. So God made everything. God created everything. Go over to the New Testament. There's a couple of verses from Psalms here, but I want to mention Psalms in a little bit. Go to John chapter 1. And again, I know you know this text, but look in John chapter 1. This is interesting. Sometimes people don't realize this about Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this talking about? Talking about Jesus, right? What does verse 14 say? That whoever this is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. That's talking about Jesus. So verse 1 is talking about Jesus, that in the beginning was Jesus, and He was with God, and Jesus was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. So who is verse 3 talking about? It's talking about Jesus. All things were made through Him. And without Him, Jesus, nothing was made that was made. So who's the creator? Jesus. I mean, Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So who is it? Did God make everything or did Jesus make everything? Yeah, exactly. Again, people try to complicate this. Oh, Jesus isn't God. Well, excuse me. Genesis 1, John 1, put them together. What does it teach? Jesus is God. That's not complicated. So Jesus is not some created being. Look in Colossians chapter 1. I don't know if you've got maybe a marginal note that's got Colossians 1 verse 16 next to John chapter 1 and verse 3. They teach the same thing. But over in the book of Colossians, again, the book of Colossians, the whole book is about Christ. That's, if you want a one-word summary of the book of Colossians, it's Christ. So here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, for by Him, that's Christ, for by Him all things were created. That word all is key. By Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. Now, isn't that interesting? There are 3 prepositions in that verse about creation. First part of the verse, and maybe it's too early on a Saturday morning to be talking about prepositions. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't talk about prepositions at all on Saturday. I mean, we should observe the Sabbath day, right? And forget I don't know. But it's interesting to me. 3 prepositions about creation in Jesus in this verse. The first part of the verse, for by, that's preposition, by the way, by Him, by Jesus, all things were created. What does that mean? He is the one by which everything came into existence. But look at the end of the verse. 2 other prepositions. All things were created through Him, and they were created for Him. He made everything through His power for Himself. He made everything for Him. Has Jesus been created? Was he created by the Father? That's what some of your religious friends want us to believe, but no. And so, to tie into our theme for the VBS, here we are talking about creation and the focus of it being what God did in creation, and yet we need to understand that Jesus was the one that was involved in making all things. And it's the Godhead. You remember what he said when he was getting ready to make man? Let us make man in our image. In the very first chapter of the Bible, we learn about a plurality in the Godhead. We don't fully grasp it. And even though we've got the rest of the Bible, we still don't fully grasp the Godhead. But what do we understand? That there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit there in creation? What does Genesis 1 and verse 2 say? The Spirit hovered above the face of the water. So you've got the entirety of the Godhead involved in creation. One other verse. Let's go to Romans. Because sometimes people will say, okay, how do you know there's a God? Sometimes Christians, Bible believers, people who believe in God, sometimes we're kind of looked at as we're just, we're kind of living on faith only, and their definition of faith being your best guess, that, you're just kind of hoping that this is true. And so you're hedging your bets and saying, well, you know, I just want to make sure that if there is a God that I've got that covered, just in case I die and there really is a God. I'd be really bad if I didn't believe in him, so I better believe in him. As if there's not any evidence. Is there any evidence for God? Look in Romans chapter 1. We'll just look at verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, since those first 6 days, his, God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen. You read that, how can something invisible be clearly seen? I mean, if it's invisible, what does that mean? You can't see it. He's like, okay, if it's invisible, you can't see it. And what does God say? His invisible attributes are clearly seen. All right, the rest of the verse explains it, right? Being understood by the things that are made. Are the things that are made invisible? No. The things that are made are visible. And so because of the things that are made, we can know that there is a God, even to the point, the end of the verse says, even his eternal power and, the New King James has Godhead, other translations I think say divine nature. We can even know the eternal power and the divine nature of God, not by reading the Bible. We can know it by reading the Bible, but we can know it by creation. To the point that the end of the verse says what? You're without excuse. If there is evidence, and the Bible says that there is, if there's evidence for a creator in the fact that, no, we can't see him, he's invisible to us, his attributes are invisible to us, and yet by looking at what he has made, we can see him, we can know him, we can know his power, to the point that if we don't believe the evidence, what excuse do we have? We don't have any excuse. Were you there in the pew manufacturing shop when they made the pew that you're sitting on? Were you there? Did you see the materials they were using? Did you see the men putting it together? Did you see the guys sewing all of that together and cutting the wood? Did you see that happen? Do you believe it happened? You're enjoying the results of it right now, right? You didn't see it happen, but you see the evidence of it. You know that. Do you believe that there was a warehouse somewhere? Have you seen it? Do you believe that there was some kind of a manufacturing process? Do you believe it? Do you believe that there were some men, women too, not trying to be wrong, Do you believe there were some people? Do you believe there were some people that were doing something to put it together? Do you believe that there was a truck that backed up? Or maybe he pulled sideways, I don't know. Do you believe there was a truck that came to this warehouse that they could put these pieces in? Did you see all of that happen? You didn't see any of that happen. But what do you know? You know you're sitting on a pew. And you would be without excuse to say, no, I just think it happened. I think the elders said, give us pews, and they showed up out of thin air. That's not the way it works. It's almost silly to say there wasn't a manufacturing place that made the pews. What about everything else around? What about your body that is sitting on the pew? Is our body not a million times more complex than the pew that we're sitting on? Yeah. And where did it come from? Was there a warehouse somewhere? Was there a manufacturer who decided to put this together? So anyway, without excuse. So we're talking about creation. And so that's our, but does that mean that that's all that God did? I mean, because what did he do on day seven? He rested. What is, to us that means he laid down, had a little siesta, he had a nap. What some of you will be doing after lunch today in our 30-minute class after you fill your bellies full with pizza. So that's what we think. We just think, oh, well, God needed a vacation because it really took it out of him. And then the idea is, well, and he has continued to rest. He's continued to not really do anything because he did everything in those 6 days. Now, is there anything being created today? Is the creation process over? Even scientific law teaches what? Is the creation process continuing? Are things still being created today? No, the creation was done in 6 days. Even science indicates that what the world that's here is wearing out, and that nothing new is being created. I mean, what did God create everything out of? He had nothing, and he created everything. That's not happening anymore. But does that mean that God is not doing anything? That since creation is done, that God's not doing anything? So here's three questions. Is God doing anything now?
Yes.
We got to figure that out. He did something in Genesis 1. Is he doing anything now? Is he working among us in the affairs of men? And if he is, how's he doing that? Now, I'm not suggesting that we can fully understand the answer to that third question. The Bible teaches us, for sure, the answer to the first two, and it teaches us the answer to the third one. But even when it teaches us the answer to the third one, I'm not sure we can fully grasp it. To think about exactly what God is doing now, that's what providence is. So here's providence. Here's English, Latin. I know you all wanted English and Latin today, right? So here's, how do you define providence? Well, maybe the English word, what's the first seven letters of the word providence? Have I counted right? First seven letters of the word providence? Provide. So there is a providing, the English definition, there is a provision that is taking place. But it's more than that. Providence is not merely the giving, the providing. You can do that yourself. And in fact, the verses that actually have that Greek word, none of those verses are talking about God's providence. All of those verses are talking about man's providence, man providing for others. But I don't want us to think just about the providing part of it. Because it, at least in the Greek definitions, what is involved in the Greek definitions besides the providing? The thinking of it before. The forethought that's going into it. So providence sort of has, it has both of those elements. It has, here's what I'm doing, here's the providing, but it also has the forethought. How am I going to do this? What's going to be needed? And to work that out even before that takes place. So when we think about providence, when we think about God's providence, when we try to think about, is God still doing anything today? And when we think about the English and the Greek word, that's what it means. So I'm going to give you a very long definition of providence. All right, I don't want this to be like too overwhelming, but here is a definition of providence is kind of a compilation of some things that I've gotten from various sources. Providence is God doing something. Providence is God at work in a variety of ways. God supporting something, that he is there and upholding something. It is God preserving something, not just supporting, not just upholding it, but helping it to continue, to preserve it in whatever state it's in. God then not just preserving it, but God taking care of something. So he's supporting it, he's prolonging it, he's preserving it, he's taking care of it, he's watching over it in supervision, and in some elements, he's controlling things. There is a governing aspect to this. So those are five different words, five different concepts. But what I want you to see about providence is that it is over everything that he has created. God made everything. Remember what Colossians 1 said? Remember the three prepositions? It was by him and through him and, what was the last one? For him. God made everything for him. And so if he's going to exercise any care or preservation or support or governing, wouldn't he do it in a way that would benefit the and this word here, purpose, is key, to accomplish the purpose for which he created him. So the question today is God still at work? Is God still doing anything? And you know the answer to that is yes. And we're going to look at the Bible and see how God is still at work. But here as you think about a definition, why is God still working? He is still working in order to fulfill the purpose for which he made things. He made the world, the universe, for a purpose. And he's continuing to work so that those things can fulfill their purpose. Did he make us for a purpose? So if he made us for a purpose, would he be working in our lives in order for us to fulfill that purpose? And when I say us, is it possible that God is working in the lives of people who are not even Christians in order to fulfill his purpose? Yeah. Is it possible that God is working not just in the lives of human beings, but God is working in the lives of animals? God is working in the lives of his entire creation in order to fulfill his purpose? Did God have anything to do with that ram getting stuck in the thicket when Abraham was like this over Isaac? I mean, was that just pure chance, right? That was just, man, it was Abraham. No, not Abraham's. It was Isaac's lucky day. That's what it was. I mean, Isaac was just playing his cards right that day, and he just got lucky. Or was that God working out something for his purpose? We're gonna take a break in about, well, I won't tell you how many minutes, but not too many minutes. All right, let me go through this slide, and then we're gonna take a little bit of a break because you've been sitting and your cardio is now coming to a nice little rest, and so you will be able to get up get your blood pumping. But I want us to fully believe, and we're going to get into the Bible in just a minute. None of this is going to have Bible verses. Well, we'll look at a couple, but I want us to look at the Bible in a little bit. But just what is providence about? Providence is about the fact that God created everything and about the fact that God sustains. After He created everything, God sustains everything. I want to put three verses here. I'm actually going to look at one more thing before we take a break. But I want to put three verses here about God not just creating everything, but God sustaining His creation. In Hebrews chapter 1, talks about the fact that God in these last days has spoken unto us by His Son, whom God has appointed Jesus as heir of all things, through whom He also, look at that, through whom Jesus, God, made the worlds. Who created everything? Jesus did. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person. And here's what I want us to see for this purpose. And upholding all things by the word of His power. What does that expression mean? He created everything. He made everything. But then what does He continue to do? He continues to do something with it. He's continuing to uphold it and to preserve it. That verse is talking about providence. That God is still at work in some measure. That verse of Colossians 1, verse 16, is the verse where we saw that Jesus made all things. The very next verse says, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. There might be a translation. Maybe it's not a translation. Maybe it's a footnote in one translation. Can't remember if it's an actual translation. But instead of the word consist, I think there's a translation that says, by Him all things are held together. What does that mean? God's still working. It's not just that He made everything in 6 days and said, all right, good luck. I'll see you in a few thousand years. No. He's continuing to hold things together. They still consist and are working in the way that He designed them to work. And then in Acts chapter 17, it talks about our lives. In Him, we live, we move, and we have our very being. What does that mean? Without Him still interacting with us, we have no existence. We have no life. So providence is God caring for, supervising. It is God preserving and supporting, as we've seen here, Him upholding all things and holding them together so that they can accomplish whatever purpose He has set them out to accomplish. So let me share just a couple things. I forgot I had that particular slide in there. Let me share just a couple things about providence. When you talk about providence, generally, well, that's probably not a good word because that's a word that's on the screen, but typically, I'll say that word typically. Typically, providence is divided into two different categories. General providence and special providence. General providence being that God is exercising Himself for the good of all creation, but special providence being God is exercising Himself for the good of His people. And the Bible teaches two different types of providence. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Turn your Bible just for a second to Matthew chapter 5, just to see what the class today, we're going to be looking specifically at special providence. We're going to be talking about God's providence in our lives. But here's general providence. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look, start in verse 44. Matthew 5, 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? So that you can be the sons of your Father in heaven. What is He saying? Here are all these people who hate you and curse you and persecute you. What do you do to them? Love them, bless them, and pray for them. Why? So that you can be like your Father. Well, what does He do? Verse 45. He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. What does that say? Is God taking care of everybody? Even the people that hate Him? I mean, are there the people that hate God on the earth? Could He control the sun and say, you know what? You're just not going to get any sun today. You're being mean to me? Let's just see how that works out for you. Oh, you need some rain for your crops? Well, you cursed me, and you continue to curse me. I'm just not going to let you have any rain, because I can do that, because I'm God. Is that what He does? No. Jesus just said that there is a measure of providence that God gives to all of His creation. There is a measure of goodness that God extends to all of His creation. So what does He say to us? You better do that too. If God can do it, you can do it. So that's general providence, God taking care of His general creation. But special providence is what we're going to look at today. And that is that, yes, He does that for everybody, but is there something that He does a little bit more for His own children? I would guess that you are generally nice to most children. On a good day. On a good day, you're probably nice to most children. I know this is going to test some of you. But I'm guessing that when it comes to your own children, that, again, most days on a good day, you are maybe a little bit nicer and probably do a little bit more for them than you do for children in general, right? I mean, while you would like to feed the children of the world, typically you're feeding your children, right? I mean, you don't let all children come and stay in your house. You're housing and providing raiment and clothing and goods for your own children. I mean, you're not paying for all children to go to college, are you? I mean, if you are, let me know. I'll sign my kids up. But typically you're just paying for your own. So while you care for all children, even you, special place you take care of your children. That's God. God is there taking care of all of His created beings, and yet those who are His children get a special care. And that's what we're going to talk about, that especially a little bit after lunch today. But something we've got to understand, some principles we've got to understand about providence, is that providence will never work against God's will or God's nature. Sometimes people want to assign God's providence to something that is not God's providence. I've heard individuals who did not have a right to get married say that God brought someone into their life. It was the love of their life so that they could get married, spend the rest of their life together with them. But that person was not divorced right to begin with and didn't have a right to go and get married. But they say, God brought this person into my life. What are they saying? They're assigning providence. They're assigning that God's goodness did something that the Bible says that marriage would be adultery. But, oh, don't worry about that because God did this. That may not be the best example, but it's the example that comes to mind to me. It says, if God's revealed will says something, God's providence is not going to do something that is outside of that, that is contrary to that. So we've got to be careful about how we assign something and say, well, that's God at work. We can't always put our finger on providence. That's the tough thing about providence. We can't always put our finger on and say, that's God at work. Sometimes it's easier to see providence in the rearview mirror than it is in the present. You know, you may be able to look back at something in your life and say, I never would have made it through that if it weren't for God. And you can see that at work, but when you're in the present, it's hard to say, that's God, that's... Well, how do you know? That's the thing. The thing about providence is we know it's happening. Go back to those three questions I had on the screen a little while ago. The how is something we don't fully grasp. So it's never going to work against His nature. It's never going to work against His will. It is not going to ever negate our free will. It's never going to force us to do something. But we've always got to distinguish it from something being a miracle. Providence is not miraculous. That's a distinction we've got to make. 6 days of creation, that's a miracle. Walking on water, that's a miracle. Feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with just a little lunch from a boy, that's a miracle. That's not providence. Providence is working within natural means. And that's a key difference to see. That God is using His natural world to fulfill the purpose for which He has created all of these things. And this is what Lonnie said. In providence, it's God working behind the scenes. And as He's working behind the scenes, here's two things to remember. That, and this again, this is hard to grasp fully. It is not true that God is not involved in anything. Some people say he created everything and then he just stepped away from it. No, that's not true. He's still involved in things. So it's not true that he's not involved in anything, but it's not necessarily true that he's involved in everything. Did he help you decide what shirt to put on this morning? I'm not sure that that's where the providence of God comes into play. I mean, honestly, it was your wife who helped you. If you want to say your wife is God, that's your own business. But I mean, God's not involved in those kind of issues. I'm trying to help you to figure out what shirt or what socks to put on that day. So we, again, sticking your finger on where is God involved is sometimes hard to do, but it's we know that he is working in our lives, but it is not luck. Some people use the word coincidence. It's not coincidence. It's not just, oh, that was kind of random. That must have been God. No. Those two things kind of work together. Boy, it's my lucky day. Sometimes people will take offense at Christians saying that we're lucky. Sometimes there's members of the church who you know, if we say, well, you know, I'm kind of lucky, he'll say, no, you're not lucky, you're blessed. Because of the definition of luck. Luck is just random chance. If you're a Christian, God's care for us is not random chance. If we're a Christian, God's care for us is not coincidence. It is purposeful. Eva, you had your hand up a second ago. What were you going to say? That's right. He's supposed, and that's the promise he's made to us. I need this for just a minute. He is working in us, and he's working through us. He's working in us, and that's the promise that he's made to us as his children. And he's working for us. Eva's into prepositions this morning. So it's not too early for prepositions for Eva. She's used in and through and for, all very good prepositions that the Bible talks about God's work in our lives. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a break. I don't know how long, maybe 7 minutes, because that'll be a nice round number to get us to 10 after. So at 10 after 11, let's reconvene. And here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the nature of God and see how the nature of God and these things on the screen that he's, you know, he's eternal and immutable and omnipotent and all of those things. How does that play into providence? So we're going to look at that after a little bit of a break. Get up and stretch, get yourself a drink of water or whatever, and we'll reconvene at 10 after. Okay.